Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. The Boston Public Schools face a deficit that could be as high as $50 million, but cuts to education funding are never easy and never popular. That's why thousands of Boston high school students walked out of class a couple of weeks ago to protest $10 to $12 million in planned budget reductions. In response, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh decided to achieve the cost savings by delaying some new programs and pulling money from other parts of the school budget. Now it's up to the Boston School Committee, which will vote on the proposed budget tomorrow night. To help us understand what's at stake and why, we're joined by Sam Tyler. He's president of the Boston Municipal Research Bureau, and that's a nonpartisan nonprofit group that does independent research. And Sam Tyler, thanks for coming in. It's good to meet you.
Thank you.
So the overall budget is increasing over last year, if I understand correctly. It's $13 million higher than last year. So why is the district running a deficit?
Well, I guess the simple answer, which will play out more next year than this year, is that it is funding expensive teachers and too many small schools.
Hmm.
Basically, it's the resources that are available are not growing fast enough for the expenses, and some difficult decisions haven't been made, particularly regarding number of schools. So you're spreading the resources thinly, and that's creating the need for cuts. Having said that, you know, the school budget over the last 5 years has increased in spending by 25%, which compares with police and fire budgets combined at 18.4%, and all the other city departments in aggregate by about 12.7%. So it's still spending at a higher pace than other departments.
Mm, I want to ask you about this first point you raised, and that is spending too much money on too many small schools. And the mayor commissioned an audit, which was released back in December, and it said the school department could save millions of dollars by consolidating schools as well as integrating more special needs children into mainstream classrooms, streamlining administrative staff, and changing bus routes, among other proposals. Would those measures, other than consolidating schools, be enough? Or is it your view that they need to consolidate schools, maybe even close schools?
I think certainly consolidation of classes, but closing of schools, I think, is going to be absolutely essential. And there is a 10-year master school facilities process that, when it's finished, will identify, you know, schools that perhaps should be closed, schools where they should be building, or areas where they should be building new schools. But there's about 30% of the existing schools have, I think, less than 300 students in each school. So if you were to compare Boston School District with its peer school districts, its square footage per pupil would be very high. So that's partly a factor of the, you know, charter students that are going to charter schools. There's about 9,000 Boston resident students going to charter schools, and the school department really hasn't adjusted for that. And so, again, it's spreading resources very thinly, which it can't keep doing. So we're at a point where that you can't delay, you know, the issue of closing schools, consolidating. You can provide more resources to each school, better serve the students if you do that.
I gather closing schools is very challenging politically. In 2010, then Superintendent Carol Johnson proposed closing a couple of schools, merging two others. There was a lot of protest. She withdrew the proposal. So this is a difficult thing to propose, right?
It's extremely difficult, and I think it's been made more difficult by the fact that, as a result of, you know, the protests of the students, the mayor restored the cuts to the high schools. I think that just will embolden what already will be a much greater outcry for not closing schools. I mean, we have a large number of small schools, but they're very popular, but very inefficient in terms of allocating resources. And, you know, the state is the second largest revenue source for the city, and state aid for education has been pretty flat over the last few years. I think for the last 5 years, Chapter 70 education aid has increased by 4%.
Mm-hmm.
And
while spending on schools, you said, increased 25%.
25% during that same period.
Yeah. I want to ask you, though, I'm intrigued about this idea and this need, as you see it, to close more schools. What happens if the city closes too many schools? I mean, more and more folks are moving into the city. The population is growing. Could the city risk cutting too deeply and ending up in a situation a few years down the line of not having enough capacity?
Well, hopefully this 10-year facilities plan, which will take into consideration projections for enrollment over time, will be completed enough to help make those decisions so that they do not close too large a number of schools. I mean, I don't think in the first year, which would be work that would have to take place in the fiscal 17, that the number that they would pick would be too much. It was just a matter of how far in future years. But, I'm not even sure that facilities plan will be done by the time decisions have to be made for this first round of school cuts.
So you're saying that facilities master plan actually could be done too late?
Well, it won't be too late for the whole process. Yeah. It may be too late. There'll be enough work done to help make educated decisions regarding the first round of cuts closing of schools. But in future years, whatever changes, that report will be the guide. And it's not as if that's the only way in which the school department needs to control spending. You made reference to the McKinsey study. They made a number of recommendations. I think some of the school officials think those recommendations are based on inflated or assumptions. But there are other studies that look at the Boston School Department and comparing it to peer school districts and find it's high on personnel levels. It's high on special education. It's the facility costs, the transportation costs are much higher. So there's other areas to look to as well.
Mm. So are any of these areas, and we're going to have to wrap up soon, but the Boston School Committee votes tomorrow on this proposed budget. In this proposed budget, is there anything, is there something that's missing in a big way in your view that they're not even considering?
No, I mean, I think that at this time, I mean, there's still some time for minor change, I think. I mean, the mayor presents his budget to the city council on the second Wednesday in April. But I think this will be scrutinized very carefully by the city council as it reviews the budget. But I think for this year, we've had a number of discussions in terms of why, issues like instructional supplies seem to be down. Should perhaps those high school cuts not have been restored and used money for there? But I think we're satisfied that for this year going forward, that's probably as good as it's going to get. There's always room for last-minute adjustments, but it wouldn't be significant. There are other demands on the city's resources beyond the schools.
All right. That's Sam Tyler, president of the Boston Municipal Research Bureau, talking about some of the intricacies of funding Boston Public Schools. Sam Tyler, thanks so much for coming in. We're very grateful.
Thank you.
Let's turn now to the Remembrance Project, our series of stories from writer Alyssa Eli about ordinary people who lived extraordinary lives. Today she remembers a drum master who taught his students as much about life as he did about music.
A Saturday drum class with the Senegalese master Ibrahima Kamara could go on for 5 hours.
He really wanted us to get it, the details of the rhythm, and the right feeling about it.
Damon Weinstein studied with Ibrahima in Cambridge for about 7 years.
Because first he'd say it. He'd say it like in English. He'd say it in language. He'd say it in the way, biti bata, biti banta. He would say it in a way that I could understand the simple side. But then he'd move it. He'd slide it from that simple thing to the feel of it.
In Dakar, Ibrahima had been lead drummer and musical director for the National Ballet.
It was like he brought Africa to America and he brought America to Africa.
Ibrahima wove the cultures together through drumming and sometimes through metaphor.
And so I remember one time he was telling us, hold on, stop. Look at the skin on your drum. He said, imagine that's your lover's back. That's her skin. Don't hurt her.
His long, long lessons were about life as well as music.
He had a huge heart, and he was a huge ball of feeling. Everything he ever did was just so right off the top. And so it would be confusing, like suddenly he'd change it. He'd change rhythms on us midstream, like we're doing this, and then he'd be like, no, we're doing this now. And people couldn't even take it. Like, but you just said you're doing that. He said, this is what I'm saying you're doing. You know, it's not what I said before. It's what I'm saying now. And to keep up is like taking a breath, and here we are now.
You will feel it and you give it. That's what you do. So it's important to really get it like that. Even though you don't do it right, you will do exact copy what you sing, but this is the way.
In 1997, he brought Damon and the other students to Dakar to play in the National Theater. He gave an Ibrahimic pep talk beforehand.
Something to the effect of, if you play the rhythm off, you're going to offend the people. He's like, you cannot play off. You're going to play on. He was so strong. He was like, I know you're going to do it because you have to do it.
The rhythm was music, but the rhythm was also knowledge. When to speak with words, when to speak with sound, and how to recognize the living essence in all things.
Writer Alyssa Eli remembering Ibrahima Kamara, who died last October in Senegal. He was 72 years old. If you'd like to suggest a loved one for remembrance, you can send an email to remember@wbur.org. And stay with us. Coming up, there's a lot more ahead. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.